All right, folks, welcome to the second episode of The Arc. I'm Dan, and I'm here with Haley Ward, and we're going to talk about... Oh, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Yeah, this is already really awkward. But basically, if this is your first time tuning in, The Arc is where I talk to local Minnesota songwriters about their creative process and what inspires them and all that fun stuff. So I'm very excited to have Haley here with me. And we're going to talk about songwriting and where it stems from in her life.
The end of the day, we're all just looking for that picture to frame. Tic-tac-toe, darling, do you love me so? Give me an X, give me an O, give me three in a row. Tic-tac-toe, darling, do you love me so?
All right, so tell me a little bit like about yourself. You're not like Minnesota born and raised.
Not at all.
Like, tell me about like where you're from and how you got here.
Okay, well, I grew up in Vermont. I was born and raised there, and my dad grew up in Minnesota, so he has a lot of family here. I have a lot of extended family just still in the area, which has been really lovely. For like holidays and stuff, so I can just hang out with fam out here instead of going home to Vermont, cause it's really far away. But I ended up out here for college at McNally Smith College of Music, and I graduated in August of 2017 this year, and I decided to stick around because I really think the music scene in Minneapolis is so unique in comparison to other cities around the country. I feel like other cities are very particular about which genre of music you have to be in order to make it there. I know coming from East Coast, Boston is very hard rock, and New York is very kind of jazz or singer-songwriter based, but you have to really work because there's so many people in New York City. Chicago's super jazz based. Nashville has a nice songwriting scene, but is kind of country based. And then LA has a great songwriting scene, but there's so many millions of people there that
doing
it's just
the same thing.
It is too much. And I've found in Minneapolis that there's a venue for every genre. So I feel not limited by the venues that are here in that I could decide tomorrow that I wanted to be a country blues vocalist. And I still think that I would have a place to play here, which I think is really unique to being here.
Definitely. Like Minnesota is so cool because like it has a venue for like every stage in your career.
Yeah.
Like you can start out at, you know, the coffee shops, like Beaners in Duluth, or you can, you know, start out at a ton of open mics that cater to whatever, you know, genre you play. And then you can, if you want to get jazzy, you can, you know, once you get bigger, you can go to the Dakota. Or you could go to Vieux Carré, however you say that. And then you get even bigger, and then you play at places like, not the Triple Rock anymore.
Rest in peace.
But, like, you go to, like, Ice House, which is very accessible.
Yeah.
You got 7th Street Entry.
Totally.
And you get up to First Ave, and then, like, stadiums, I guess, someday, but, like, who wants to do that?
Yeah.
It's like everything for
you. Yeah, it's very eclectic.
Yeah, it's nice. And I think that's one of the unique things we have. It's not just like a place to start out. It's really a place to cultivate a career. And we have a great environment that really fosters art. And we're very lucky here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I have a tattoo of Minnesota.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe I'll get one if I leave.
No, don't leave.
I'll come back.
Yeah. So you said you were from Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a really big fan of someone from Vermont.
Yeah.
And it's not the maple syrup guy. it is Bernie Sanders.
Yes, me too.
Have you had any sightings of him in your life?
In my life? My freshman year of high school at Mount Mansfield Union High School, he came to talk to us. He just goes around and visits all the schools. And he we got to ask him questions and just kind of pick his brain about how whatever we knew about politics at that time. We were off like 14 or 15, so it was not that much. But it was cool. He's a funny guy, but my friends who still live in Vermont see him more than you would think. He's just like walking around Church Street downtown, and they'll say hi, and he's just like, hello, and he's always really nice, and it's wild. I would love to see him now so I could tell him how much I love him.
Yeah, I know. it's crazy. He's like, it was just like this guy that I'd never heard of, and then he runs for president, and I'm like, whoa, this guy's awesome, and then you look back, and he's been saying the same stuff.
Yeah. No, I went, well, that forever. Was the other thing is that I went to his campaign launch in Vermont. I was home when he decided to, like, announce his actual candidacy thing. And so that was really cool. There was free Ben and Jerry's, and everyone was so excited, and it was down at the waterfront. And so that was another time that I saw him in real life. But, yeah, he's a neat guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to music.
Okay.
All right, so this is a question that everyone has trouble with, but I like to ask it. What is the first song or the first artist you remember listening to growing up?
Yeah. Since you mentioned that you were going to talk about this, I have done some more self-reflecting, and I think when I was really little, my dad would play, like, blast Bruce Springsteen in the house, and I don't think Bruce Springsteen has really influenced my personal songwriting that much, but I do remember listening to it on the way to school, and I think at the time, I used to just hate everything that my parents would play for me, but now, like, I think it's great. Bruce Springsteen is a genius. Used to play James Taylor for me. He's great too. Lots of Carole King.
Oh yeah.
The Carpenters.
Oh yeah.
Beatles, Coldplay. Coldplay is my all-time favorite band, and everyone hates on Coldplay, but I think that they're the shit. And
it's okay.
Yeah. I paid too much money to see them play at US Bank Stadium. I got floor seats, and Chris Martin ran by and he touched my hand, and it was so cool. And
did they have those like wristband things?
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. I've
seen those, but like I just didn't understand how they worked.
I don't know. They're in time with the lights, and it blinks all the colors, and the whole stadium is like, whoa. It's so cool. But yeah, I love Coldplay. Coldplay still influences my music now, and every time I play a show, I cover The Scientist, at least.
It's a great song.
Sometimes I cover Yellow, too. But it's like, how many Coldplay songs can you cover in one 45-minute set, you know?
Yeah, nice. Hmm. So, your last album, Not Sorry, which is like, that was your first full length, was it?
Yeah. I had 2 5-track EPs before that, but Not Sorry was 10 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Nice. So, I think I'd listened to a lot of those songs in progress, mm-hmm. in various stages, because we were classmates.
Yeah.
There seems like to be a lot of heartbreak in that album.
Yeah.
I don't know how personal you want to get, but
no, we
like,
can get personal.
But like a lot of the songs, I feel like you have like Alley Cat, which I heard that song in class and I was like, that's a bomb song because it has like this jazzy vibe.
Yeah.
And reminded me, what did it remind? It reminded me of Hey Arnold for some reason.
She comes and goes like it's her house because that's just how the cat meows. Gonna act like she'll never tell, and then she'll put you through hell. Oh, Alley Cat.
I like that one a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, no, Alley Cat, I wrote when I was in the Netherlands. Actually, everyone thinks that is a song about me being really mad at this, like, cheating guy or something.
Is that what it's not about?
No. It's actually about one of my ex-best friends, and her name is Allie. Yeah, things just kind of fell apart between us after I left high school, and I just was really upset about it because I just need friendships to be equal, mm-hmm. equal opportunities. It has to be a 50-50 thing. And I was just tired of putting in all the effort. So cut ties with her and told her I was going to put this song on my album. And we haven't talked since. And but yeah, no, she's a real person. And the song really helped me get all my anger out at her. And I would definitely... like to be friends with her again someday, but I love this song. It's really angry and it's really fun, and it's musically I think a lot more interesting than some of my other chord progressions that I do sometimes. So the song is everything that I wanted it to be and say, and but it's not about a cheating boy.
Aww.
But I think I want to say almost that maybe every song is about a different person on that album.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was just like a year, like 2015 to 2016 was like a year of heartbreak and just like figuring out who my real friends are and mm-hmm. who I was in love with or not in love with or what I wanted and whatever. And I don't think that that there's really two songs that are about the exact same person. So that's kind of cool, I guess.
So much angst.
Yeah, lots of angst.
I like it. So most of your songs are very, like, I would say, like, self-narrative. Like, they come from your experience. And you're kind of, like, it seems like you're writing it out of therapy kind of for yourself to get things out of you so you don't have to, like, hold on to them anymore. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see yourself... like branching out from that, do you think that your music will always be sort of like a therapeutic device for you to get like your own emotions out? Or do you feel like maybe one day you'll do something that's not necessarily coming from you, if that makes sense?
Or sure.
Like not so like narrative of yourself.
Yeah. I collaborate a lot with my producer, Eric Michael of Realistic Productions. He did the mixing and everything on Home and Not Sorry. And he does a lot of hip hop and rap stuff. And there are definitely a few songs that I've done with him where I wrote that, but I don't feel emotionally connected and it's not really telling anything that I've actually experienced. And it just comes from something that I've made up or like one feeling that I have that I like elaborated on. So I would say I'm still finding the balance on how to do that in my songwriting. Mm-hmm. Songwriting,
like your
my personal, my personal stuff that I release under like my own name, and
yeah, definitely. Well, the reason I ask that is like I write music in a similar way where I, you know, if something's bothering me, I will write a song about it. To, like, get that shit out of my system.
Yeah.
I
definitely use music as therapy for sure. Yeah. But I also write music because I want to share it with the world. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about me. And I try not to write things that only I can relate to.
Yeah.
Because if it's something that only I have experienced, then that's no good because I'm trying to appeal to the whole real population.
Yeah, you're kind of making this skeleton for other people to fall into.
Yeah, like usually it's about a person or it tells a story, but it doesn't mean that I won't make adjustments to make it a little bit more relatable. But it still feels true to me. I usually won't feel like a song is done until it says exactly what I want it to say, whether that is like the whole truth or as much as I want people to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, like, one thing that, like, I always used to say that, like, my music had to be, like, so honest and, like, real.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized that, like, that's exhausting.
It is.
And, like, it's okay if, like, I feel like the spirit of the song is what really matters. So it doesn't really, for me, it doesn't matter exactly what I'm talking about. It's like what the feeling that it's rooted in,
mm-hmm.
more than if what I'm saying is actually true.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really focusing on the new stuff, like having stories from other people's perspectives that aren't from me, but obviously drawing from things I've done.
Yeah.
Or experienced. And it's really weird because I've really been writing songs about myself for so long that I just got so tired.
On Mincast? Yeah, Mincast. I had talked about when I wrote a song every week, mm-hmm. Freshman year, and I would write stuff that I hadn't, well, I was 15, I hadn't experienced anything. Like, I hadn't really been in love, but I was writing love songs, and I was pulling from the things that my friends were experiencing and pulling from books that I was reading, and I used to read a lot more than I now do. So I would like to get back into that balance of writing about things that I'm reading about and things that other people are experiencing, because I think that's really important as a songwriter. You're trying to relay the feeling to the public. So if it's only things that you're experiencing and you're feeling, then that's only going to get you so far. But I think my most current struggle is that I just have so many thoughts and so many feelings that I forget sometimes that you don't have to put every feeling into one song. And I'll find myself writing a song, and then I'm like, oh, I have this great line, but it changes the whole meaning of this current song. And then I'm like, oh, I can just do that in a different song, Haley. Like, you have no limit. You're fine. Like, you have so many more songs to write in your lifetime. So just save that one for later. So
file it away.
Yeah.
It'll find its way back.
Definitely.
I always do.
I have so many notes and voice memos on my phone.
I know, just, me too. Oh,
yeah.
And I'm terrible at organizing them.
Yeah.
Like, it just says, like, new recording 258.
Oh, I always name it something, but it doesn't always make a lot of sense.
Yeah, like, when you look back, me too, like, you look back at it and you're like, what?
Yeah.
It says, like, good song idea or something stupid like that. And I'm like, okay. And then I listen to it. And then, like, I'm just not, it's not the same because I don't have, like, the harmony in my head like I did when I was, like, recording it.
I
just sound like an idiot singing random notes. I just see myself, like, walking on the street.
Yeah.
Just like this idiot mumbling into his phone, like, gibberish.
It's me. I'm, like, driving down the road sometimes and I'm like, okay, we have an idea now. We're going to pause the music and pop out our phone and
smart. I knew what was the best. I hid what I felt so well that if I wanted you back, how could you tell?
I like what you said a lot about kind of observing people around you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a huge part of songwriting.
Mm-hmm. Like, we have to be so perceptive.
Yeah, because, you know, as much as like we like to think, I don't know how to say this, but we're basically in the business of like manipulating people's emotions to make money.
Yeah.
I've
never thought about it like that, but
exactly.
Kind of sounds twisted, but
it does. It does. Like we write, like, if you want to make money, which is totally up to you, whichever way you go, if you're doing it for the art, which you should be, but if your end goal is to make money, you probably should be out of here. But, basically I've been thinking that, like, our whole job is like to tap into like people's, like, it's really fucked up. Tapping into people's, like, oh, you're having a sad day?
Yeah.
Oh, this song will help you through your sad time.
Damn.
It's kind of creepy.
That's, like, why I love music, though, because I'm
know.
Just like, oh, there's a song for everything. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, that's fucked.
it's weird. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the craft.
Yeah.
Because you and I were both pupils of Sir Gary Rue.
I love him so much.
Me too. It was like going into the gauntlet every class.
Oh, he was my advisor my last semester with my whole senior portfolio and everything, and he's the best.
I know. But, like, I remember, like, being in his class. He was, like, a really cool guy, but it was so strict. We, like, the first couple songs we wrote,
I didn't listen to the rules.
I know. Neither did I. And
well, you know what I would do is that I would write some. He would give us rules, and then I would not do the assignment. And I would turn it in. And I would be like, I know this is not what you told me to do. And then in front of the class, he would, like, tear my song apart and be like, Haley, this is not right. And then he would pull me aside outside of class and be like, Haley, you are one of the few people that know what you're doing, but these other kids, they don't know what they're doing. So I just, like,
for the pity of mankind.
You're doing fine. And he did it all the way. I had songwriting one and two with him. And he did that all the way through songwriting two. And but knowing him was amazing because he gave me opportunities for shows and just songwriting things. And he was so great. But he would just tear me to shreds in front of all my peers. And then he would be like, Haley, you're doing great. Like, it's fine. But these kids don't know. And if they're ever going to learn what I'm trying to tell them, I gotta, like, hate on you a little. And I was like, it's fine.
Yeah, I was the same way. Like, I would write the songs in there and be like, I'd try to do it. And then, like, halfway through the song, I'd be like, eh, screw that.
Yeah.
And then he would do the same thing. And I don't think it was as bad as you. But, but yeah, how much of that stuff do you use?
Like, well, I'm conscious of it now. I would say it's not always that I use it, but I'm always like, oh, that is an AABA song. Or, oh, that is a, most of the time it's just a verse chorus song. Yeah. But every now and again, I am like, oh, that is not a chorus. That's a B section. So I'm just hyper aware of what I am writing now, which I think is good skills to have. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad about any of the things that I learn. As frustrating as it was to have to follow things, I'm glad that I am conscious of what I'm doing now, because I think as much as you don't need a songwriting degree, it's good to be aware of what you're doing a little bit, even whether you can read music or not. Just knowing, like, the form of a song and just the labels for what all of that is called and how you can go about doing it or not doing it is good foundation for the craft.
I definitely agree with that. Like, there's so much, you know, if you just, like, focus on all that stuff, like making sure there's perfect syllables, perfect rhymes, which I hate. I cannot stand perfect rhymes.
No, I am a half rhymer to the end of my life.
Assonance.
Yeah, which is also, like, Gary hated that I would half rhyme things. And I think that was a real frustration that he actually had.
I think he does have. I think he has. I think he thinks that those are the best type of rhymes, but
that half rhymes are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No.
That real rhymes.
Real rhymes. Perfect.
Well, I love Gary, but he's wrong about that because it's too much.
It's just you can't get to new conclusions with those rhymes anymore. I agree. Used so many times.
Yeah.
That you have to stretch.
This is true.
You have to stretch and use things that might not sound perfect, but they get what you want across. And that's what songs are.
Yeah.
Getting what you want across.
100%.
So someone else can hear it and put themselves in it.
Yeah.
And maybe give you money. Maybe not. Probably not. But
hopefully. Just a little.
Just a couple cents.
Just some change.
Yeah. Just a couple cents from the stream.
A tenth of a cent.
So you've been writing some new stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell me about that? Like, how is it different? Like, do you have any newer ideas that you have been focusing on since your last album, since you got that out of the way? Any new, like, arrangement styles, instrumentation? Have you thought about any of that stuff yet for your songs?
A little bit. I have a lot of started songs that are just not done at all yet. I do have one song that I'm going to release for Sexual Assault Awareness Month in April.
Nice.
Called, I think it's called Prisoner of War. That is the tentative title. But I wrote that over the summer, and I've been planning since I wrote it to release it in April for that Awareness Month, and I'm going to donate all that. The proceeds for that towards some organization. I have not decided yet, but, you know, all of that things, because that's a really important issue to me personally. And all
it's
of
the
my
nation now. Now the nation knows that it's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So but my other new stuff, experienced some heartbreak at the end of the summer. So a lot of it's just been about the same one person, which is not usually a common theme. Like, I've usually been able to, like, write songs about whatever, but this fall, I've just kind of gotten it all out of my system. So I just have a lot of sad, confused songs. And one of them is what you'll hear tonight. But I'm not mad about it anymore, guys. Like, I'm fine. I have no soul. So it's all good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you got it all out.
We hope so.
What do you say we listen to this new song?
Let's do the thing.
What's it called? Do you have a name?
Yes, it is. It's called Ghost. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting spooky up in here.
It's called Ghost.
All right, well, let's get you set up and listen to this new song called Ghost by Haley Ward.
Thank you.
Never let me down, 'cause my hopes were rooted deep within the ground. It's the words I never heard you say, those are the ones that haunt me every day. I love you, beautiful. You say they'll love me, but why don't you love me? I've never been mind. Oh. Did you know I loved you from the start? So now I've got to separate my soul from your heart, and I think the most genuine thing you ever did for me would set me free. You say they'll love me, why don't you love me? I've never been one to waste my own time, but I can't figure out why you're still here in my mind with all the unsaid words you left behind. Ghost in my mind. And it feels like you must have known all the people that you thought might come knocking on my door. Oh my God, you have to know. Dare tell a single soul that I wanted you to go. I never wanted you to go. I've never been one to waste my own time, but I can't figure out why you're still here in my mind with all ghost in my mind.
All right, you heard it here first.
Boom.
Ghost.
Unreleased.
By Haley Ward?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that song. What inspired it? Why Ghost? I mean, ghosts are very, very capturing. Ghosts are awesome.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. Why Ghost?
Yeah, well, I wrote the chord progression over the summer before I knew that the song was going to be about being sad. And the person that I wrote the song about, this song really came together in October, I'd say, and just would not get out of my head. And I couldn't let, those words and those feelings go. So I put it into a song, and originally that last line of the chorus was all the unsaid words you left behind. And then I had you left me behind. But then I realized that I had, like, you could never let me down. I was rooted deep within the ground. Like, that's very, like, grave-y. And then I have, like, the words, I never heard you say those are the ones that haunt me every day. So I was like, okay, we're in this. And I was like, this ghost is just lingering around, and I don't want him here anymore.
Get him out of here.
So that is,
that's someone call the exorcist.
Yeah, so that's kind of where the title came from. And I'm not... personally, which is why I haven't advertised this song quite as much, but I'm not sold on the second verse because second verses are hard.
Yeah.
And so I can't promise that it won't change, but no. I want the ghost thing to like tie a little bit more together.
Yeah.
Overall.
So that's why you don't like the second verse?
Kind of? It's not that I hate the second verse. It's just that I think it could be stronger. So that's how I feel.
I know. And that's one of the hardest things, like those edits when like you already have the song like pretty much done and then you're like, well, now that I changed the chorus or whatever, now this doesn't really
doesn't work.
Doesn't stack up to it.
Yeah, and it's like I really love the bridge, but I don't really want to change the words because I like what I'm saying there. Mm-hmm.
And the vowel sounds sound nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
I feel you. Well, the thing is that you don't have to feel obligated to keep it just because now it's permanent.
Yeah. It's all good.
We're all about showing people songwriters and their process, and even if it's not the, you know, final product, that's cool. That's even better.
Absolutely.
Because we have something that most people won't get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's basically all we got today.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thanks so much you for survived. Having me on. I made it.
And I survived.
Yes.
Thank you so much for stopping in.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, hearing more of your stuff and seeing you play around the cities. And
yes, me too.
It's nice that you're now a bona fide Minnesotan. So welcome.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. I want you to want to spend this overnight with me. Trust me, you'll see. I'm so much more than